Thank you, Kim. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. I am at BBC News' breaking news on their Twitter right now, and they have an image of three possible suspects in the Brussels airport attack. It's been widely shared by Belgian media, and who knows? Hopefully social media can help find the people who did this. We go live now to Tom Mikaitis, who is professor of history at DePaul and terrorism analyst. Tom, some shocking news to wake up to this morning, although people are telling me not to be shocked because these terror attacks are inevitable.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the case, and so is the vulnerability that they just exposed. I've had concerns about this for some time. We're very good at protecting gates and access to aircraft, or we've gotten much better, let's put it that way. But what that the vulnerability that is there are these check-in areas and the baggage areas where there's unrestricted access from the street, and that's what they took advantage of. Early morning, crowded flights. Brussels is a major international hub. Lots of people milling about, very attractive target to kill lots of people in a short order and shut down the transportation system.
Tom, ISIS claimed responsibility. Does that automatically mean that it is ISIS who's responsible?
Well, it doesn't automatically, but all of the indicators suggested that that it is, in fact, them. I think that we concluded that even before they claimed it. The individual who was captured was probably part of an unfolding plan, and the terrorists may very well have simply advanced their timetable, knowing that the Belgian authorities were actually interrogating him and getting some good information.
So I'm just wondering if this is retaliation for the capture of Paris terror suspect Salah Abdeslam, or is it something that was planned?
I don't know. This is speculation, but I have a sense that rather than retaliation, it was that they simply had this in place. He was probably going to participate, and because he was captured, they felt that they needed to move up the timetable before the Belgian authorities closed in on them. I think that's a bit more likely given, you know, the incomplete information we have at this point.
I heard a terrorism expert, analyst, the other day on television explain this theory, and you tell me what's behind this, Tom, is that a lot of times when there's an event, a terrorist event, they have to watch that area very closely for the next 24 or 48 hours for fear that whoever planted a first bomb would plant a second one in the same exact place.
Yeah.
What's the theory behind that exactly?
Well, that's not theory. That's long-established practice. That the Viet Cong used to do that during the Vietnam War. You set a minor explosion off in a restaurant and your major bomb blast by the door as people were running out. So the idea of a follow-up with a secondary detonation to kill either people going in that direction or to kill emergency responders is a long-established practice. Then you worry about copycatting, you worry about all kinds of things. So, I mean, that's not anything that I would consider particularly new.
Someone has texted in that these were suicide bombers, so why are they showing pictures of them? That's not necessarily true, is it?
No, the most likely suicide bomber was the detonation in the underground station at the metro. What may very well have happened, again, we don't know, is that they have these pictures of these guys pushing luggage racks in. I don't profess to be an expert on pyrotechnics, but I've seen a lot of photos of the aftermath. The devastation strikes me as significantly greater than what you might find around the blast from a suicide vest. The other thing about a suicide vest bomber, excuse me, I'm being a little bit gruesome, but you often can tell that because often the explosion decapitates the suicide bomber. So you find a severed head in there, and that's an indicator as well. You know, the fact that they're focusing on these three individuals suggests, it doesn't prove, because we don't know a great deal at this point, that these individuals pushing in what maybe have been suitcase bombs were the perpetrators at the terminals, and that the suicide bomber was probably the guy at the person at the metro. And they did find a third device that did not detonate. They were able to detonate that safely, and nobody was injured.
Tom Mikaitis is our guest. He is a professor of history at DePaul. He is a terrorism analyst.
And let's take a quick break here. And any updates or anything, we would love to come back and find out more about this, Tom. He has been all over the television this morning on WGN-TV. Mm-hmm. And it is gruesome details that he mentioned, but,
sure,
you know, this isn't pretty.
Nope.
It
no
is
part
very
of it
gruesome.
Is. All right, a quick break. More with Tom Mikytas next. If you want to jump in, please do. 312-981-7200. That's our phone line and our text line. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder, and we are talking to terrorism analyst and DePaul professor of history, Tom Mikytas. Tom, reading some stuff online at about 8 a.m. local time, the Brussels airport, explosions hit near the departure gates. Now, that doesn't mean that they had already gone through security, correct?
I think that's misinformation because they've got really good data showing it's the check-in area. If you look at the bomb blast pictures, you can see those kiosks that we all go up to, and you can scan your passport if you have if you don't have any checked luggage, and you know, get your boarding pass and then go to security. That's where they hit.
And then I was reading to Bill in the subway at 9/11. A bomb blasted, and you pointed out
there's no significance to it being at 9/11, right? That's purely coincidence.
Well,
isn't it?
Yes and no. It's certainly the height of rush hour, but the other thing is they do like to have these things as close together as they can, because it maximizes the effect. Because you don't, and especially with an underground, you get multiple reports of blasts, and people are reporting the same thing from different angles. So they were trying to get them to go off as close together as possible.
And what happens now? Obviously, there have been social media pictures and everywhere about these three alleged suspects.
Yeah.
So what happens now?
Well, there's going to be a massive dragnet, but you know, people the last couple of days, since they caught Salalo, you know, the terrorism planner, have asked me, wasn't it really stupid to go back to his neighborhood? And I go, no. Best place to hide a tree is in a forest. He obviously had a significant support network and cover. And it sounds, as I read between the lines, they only caught him because they got somebody else and found his fingerprints and were able to track him down and so on. So it's unless they were able to get out, and I think the Belgians shut everything down quickly, as did the rest of Europe, they may very well have headed back into that neighborhood. And you're going to see the kind of intense combing over that happened after the Paris attacks. And one can only hope that that's done in such a way that it doesn't add to the alienation of what's a pretty marginalized population to begin with.
Tom, what exactly would be the significance of a country like Belgium to a terrorism group like ISIS? What do they gain there?
It's nothing to do with Belgium per se. It's the fact that Belgium has a very significant population. 7% of the country are Muslim, not that large, but 25% of the population of Brussels. It's an international hub, and so on. And the other thing is, it's not just the percentage of the numbers. That's very misleading, and 99.9% of those people are not going to cause any trouble for anyone. But they're ghettoized. Unemployment in some of those areas is as high as 50%.
Wow.
The youth, the alienation of youth, this is a huge issue. Young men in particular don't fit into their parents' world because they come from another country frequently, aren't accepted in the European mainstream. And, you know, these are exactly the type of young people who can be snapped up and recruited and so on.
The disenfranchised.
Right. Yeah. And Belgium has had the highest per capita number of Europeans who have gone to join ISIS. And then, of course, some of them have come back. And that's the connection there. France has an equally significant problem. Many European countries do. But, you know, Belgium, you know, just it happens to be that's, you know, where this was centered.
All right. We know you have to get going and do WGN-TV,
sure.
But a quick question from John. John, did you have a question for Tom Mikytas?
Yeah, I heard on another report a guy that actually is in Belgium, and he said that the bombs that went off in the airport were at a check-in for a flight going to the United States, to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So that would mean that Americans were being targeted.
That is possible. I don't deny that, but I that may have been part of their targeting. But the indications for me were not that they were attempting to hit the plane, certainly, but they were certainly trying to kill whoever was in the area. But yeah, and it's a bonus to do that. But on the other hand, you know, Brussels is the headquarters of NATO. It's the headquarters of the European Union. It is just an incredibly target-rich environment, if you like, both mass casualties and highly symbolic targets. This is a great place to hit. Entirely possible that they picked American check-in desk as opposed to any other number of airlines. Sure, quite likely that they were trying to add that piece to the
puzzle. American Airlines. That's
sure.
Their message.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
So that's the bonus you're referring to is if Americans are involved, that they get extra points for that somehow.
Well, yeah, and you know, and someone said, you know, for example, apparently one of the bombs was detonated in front of a Starbucks. You know, well, you know, they don't particularly hate Starbucks, but if you've been in an airport, especially if you're jet lagged, you know, you're going to go to the coffee shop as quickly as you can.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lot of people there. You know, that's the thing is you can have a plan, but they have the ability to improvise. They get there. And, you know, they can choose to detonate, you know, wherever they see the congregation of people is. It happened in London. One of the bombers couldn't get down into the underground because the station was open for repair. It was closed for repairs. So what did he do? He gets on a bus, blows himself up there. That shows you how incredibly hard it is to try and counter these things.
Never ceases to amaze me. I know it's not as shocking as it once was, but it still is to me every single day.
And it should be. And if we ever get too used to it, that would be a cause for concern. But I want to leave you, if I could, with one thought, and that is for the average Americans, you know, don't become hostage to your fear. We're not Europe. There's so many more things going on here in terms of, you know, we don't have a ghettoized Muslim population. We have as much to fear from right-wing extremists. There's no evidence. Of this level of stuff. Yeah, there's a concern, but it's not an existential threat. And, I just go about your life. I can't stress that enough.
Thank you so much, Tom. Appreciate talking to you.
Have a nice day.
Thanks, Tom. You too. That's Tom Mikitas, professor of history over at DePaul and terrorism analyst, getting his take in about what took place in Brussels earlier today.
And if anybody can make sense out of it, it really comforts me to talk to him to find out more information on this. And more facts are coming in as we speak. We'll keep you covered all day long here on WGN. And we're going to take a brief pause and then come back and talk to Steve Bertrand and find out what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill Left, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.